Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 21. The book of Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to read just the first two verses as we begin this morning. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read these two verses aloud this morning. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The last phrase there in verse number 2 is what we're going to focus on in our theme this morning. The Lord pondereth the hearts. How is our heart this morning as God ponders it? Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we need a surgical procedure this morning. We need one done on our hearts. God, from the lowliest saint, Lord, to the highest saint, God, we have a heart problem. Lord, our hearts want to deceive us and lead us astray and take us away from the God that we love. There are so many things in contention, Father, for our hearts in this wicked world in which we dwell. Father, some of them are obvious and some of them are notable, and Lord, some of those are very subtle and secretive. And yet, Father, our hearts, we want our hearts to be tuned to you. We want our hearts, God, to be pliable, to be like clay in the hand of the potter, as we saw so adequately demonstrated last Sunday for us. So I pray, God, you give us direction in the message here this morning. Father, my heart has been burdened about this, and Lord, I feel inadequate to communicate your word at any time. And Lord, especially this morning, because the truth in front of us is so vital and so important. I pray you'd give clarity. I pray, Father, you'd use the word of God to penetrate our hearts and to examine our hearts, Lord, as we know that you ponder them here this morning. Father, may every heart be found in faith, first of all, having placed its faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray if there's anyone today that's never done that, that God, today would be the day of their conversion, the day of their salvation, the day of putting their faith personally and explicitly in Jesus Christ and what He did for them on Calvary's cross. And Lord, for us that are saved, that we might take admonition to the counsels of the Word of God regarding our heart. For we ask these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Now, before you say, yuck, we understand that in the Bible, the heart is not always talking about that physical organ that dwells inside our chest. That is the primary definition of the word heart. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's talking about that organ that pumps and circulates the blood throughout our body. And without a heart, and when the heart stops, the body is simply dead. That's all there is to it. You can live without some members of your body. You can have some things amputated and still survive. The heart is not one of those. They have developed over the years magnificent ways of doing heart transplant surgery, of maintaining the heart, of putting in shunts and all these different things. We all are familiar with the problems that go on. And the physical heart is a heart that's always in need of treatment. Sometimes folks walk around for years with a bad heart and don't even know it. And it's not until disaster strikes that they finally realize that. Luke chapter 21 tells us that one of the signs of the last days is men's hearts failing them for fear. And though I believe that that verse is talking about a time that we're not yet experiencing here on earth, it's talking about a time where after the church has been raptured out, the judgment of God begins to fall on this earth, and men simply fall over and die for fear of the judgment of God that's hitting. Can you imagine? Your heart just turning to stone. Your heart just failing itself for fear of the judgment of God. That is something yet future. And yet, we're heading in that direction. They tell us that every 36 seconds, someone dies from heart failure, from cardiovascular disease. The heart just stops beating and they die and go into eternity. Sometimes they know they have a heart problem physically. Sometimes they don't know they have a problem at all. And while we're talking about the physical heart, I might put a replica of the spiritual heart here, and that is what the Bible talks about more than the physical heart, though the physical heart is spoken of. But the spiritual heart. The dictionary also defines the heart not only as that muscular organ that's inside your body that maintains life, but it tells us it is the seat of affections and passions. That is a definition of the word heart. The seat of affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasure, etc. And is more that heart that we're familiar with than the one that's inside our body. That heart inside our body just does its job without any notice at all. Probably nobody here this morning, unless you have a serious heart problem, nobody got up this morning even giving one thought to the fact that your heart has been beating all night long and sustaining your life. Sometimes we monitor our pulse, our heartbeat, our blood pressure to find out how our heart is doing. But most of the time, we're not even giving it a second thought. And the sad reality is that many times we're not giving a second thought to that spiritual heart either. We're not worried about maintaining it. We're not worried about its health. We're not worried about its strength. We just take it for granted it's going to always be there, and it's not. See, folks, this morning, if I were to ask you this question, do you have a heart problem? Some of you would say, yes, I do. I go in for therapy. I go in for exercise to work on strengthening my heart. I've had heart attacks. I've had stents. I've had this or that. You might recognize that. But if I asked you this morning, do you have a heart problem in regard to that spiritual heart? When's the last time you even considered it? Even thought about it? Or even noticed it? Most of us are walking, ticking time bombs when it comes to our spiritual heart. All it's going to take is one temptation. All it's going to take is one moment of weakness. All it's going to take is one invitation to go, to do, to say, to watch, to do something we know is wrong. And if our heart is not healthy already, we're going to be in trouble. Can we recognize this morning that we have a heart problem? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 15, look there if you would with me, Acts chapter 15. We have a great physician who can give a diagnosis of our heart. And that's a good thing, and it's at the same time sometimes a scary thing. Because there's nothing in our heart that we can hide from Him. I remember when Brother Edmonds was in the hospital one of his times. He had continual running heart problems. I remember it was Zanesville or Columbus. I was in the hospital with him. And they had just done an EKG or whatever it is of his heart, you know, the thing. And they were, right as I walked in the room, they were putting it up on the screen and showing him his heart. And I was just amazed by that. That they could go inside of a human being and go inside of that heart and run that dye up and that camera up and take a picture. I mean, and there it was on the screen, and it was video. It was thumping and it was beating and it was enlarging and going down like that. And to see that heart like that. And the doctor could look at that picture, and with that picture he could perfectly diagnose exactly what was going on inside that heart. We have a God that knows the hearts of people. And there's not one little blemish, one little spot, one little vein, one little blood vessel that He doesn't know about in our spiritual heart and is there to diagnose it. Look in here in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 15, Peter is preaching, and he says in verse 8, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness." That phrase, and God which knoweth the hearts. There's nothing secret. There's nothing hidden from Him. Even when we can stop thoughts in the heart, you say, well, preacher, thoughts don't come from the heart, they come from the mind. Hang on, we'll get to that verse in a minute. But even when we can stop the thoughts before they come out in actions, God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what's going on in there. Oh, how aware of our spiritual hearts that ought to make us, recognizing that God sees everything going on. God who knoweth the hearts. You're there in Acts chapter 15. Turn back to Acts chapter 1, verse 24. And we find basically the same phrase. And this phrase is throughout the Scripture, so we'll not turn to all of those this morning. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 24. They're looking for an apostle, a disciple, to replace Judas Iscariot. And as they're considering two, they need to pick one of them. And as they prayed, verse 24 of chapter 1, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. As they put two men before the Lord to choose to be the replacement for Judas Iscariot, they're choosing two good men. Two men of outstanding reputation. Two men that have been with them since the beginning of the earthly ministry of Christ. And they don't know which of the two men is going to be the better candidate to be that apostle. But the Lord does. Because the Lord's not just looking at their outward actions. The Lord looketh upon... You know that verse, right? Everybody likes that verse when it comes to one thing. In 1 Samuel it says, Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. A lot of people want to use that as an excuse for having a lousy outward appearance. Well, God doesn't look at the outward appearance, He looks on the heart. Yeah, He looks on your heart. And the outward appearance is usually a reflection of the inward heart. And the fact of the matter is, God knows the heart. And in His knowledge of the heart, there's nothing hidden from Him. Folks, I don't know about you, but this is what weighs on me. That makes me want to get down on my face before God and apologize. And repent. Oh, like these two disciples, I don't count myself a wicked man. All outward indications are good. But God looks at the heart. He knows what we ponder. He knows what we think about. He knows what we meditate. He knows what comes into our heart. He knows where we invest our time and our talents and our abilities and the things. And He knows everything about us. That ought to frighten us, but it ought to encourage us to make sure our hearts are right before God. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Nobody wants to go there. Because if you're familiar with the minute I'm talking about heart and go to Jeremiah, you're saying, no, don't want to read that. God gives us a diagnosis of our heart. Jeremiah chapter 17. I was reading in Jeremiah a week or so ago, and this message actually started out with all the references to the heart, specifically in the book of Jeremiah. Because I looked it up and found that there were 52 times that the word heart appears in the book of Jeremiah. And as I was reading Jeremiah, that's what stood out to me this time. But 52 turned out not to be a whole lot. I mean, it's a lot of times. But there's 850 times that the word heart appears in the Bible. 850. That means that God is particularly interested in the heart and is paying attention to the heart when He mentions it 850 times in His Word. And it talks about evil hearts and foolish hearts and all kinds of different negative things. And then thankfully it talks about some positive hearts also. But in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 19, it tells us, excuse me, did I say 7? 17. All that talk about Jeremiah 7 scaring you just meant nothing now. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. We say of someone they have a good heart. And we mean that, and they do by all outward appearances. They're generous, they're caring, they're thoughtful of others, they're appreciative of things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you boil right down and put that picture up on the screen, here's what God says in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't that rough? Isn't that offensive? People get offended so easy anymore. Wouldn't you be offended if God looked at you and said, you have a deceitful, desperately wicked heart? No, Lord, not me. But remember, this is the one that knows everything about you and everything about your heart. And those things that we protect and hide inside, He knows they're hidden in there. And so the Bible says that we have a deceitful, desperately wicked heart. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7. Now stay with me long enough to get the good part of this, all right? The diagnosis is always rough, but you have to face the diagnosis honestly. If the worldly physician came in before you and said, this is your problem, you would want to know what the problem is, so you know what you can do about it. Well, we're going to look at what the problem is so that we can know what we can do about it. Here in Mark chapter 7, look down in verse number 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the heart, from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts. Now again, we think the thoughts come from the mind. The Bible is careful to tell us the mind is fed by the heart. And what comes into the heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, affects your mind, which affects your actions. So the root is the heart. And from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries. Nobody wakes up one morning and says, I think I'll be unfaithful to my spouse. That happens slowly by the heart being stolen away. By the heart being tempted. By the heart yielding to sin. For from within proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries. Fornications. Murders. Thefts. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. There's some pretty bad symptoms of that deceitful heart, isn't it? Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Our hearts are in trouble. Our hearts are bad. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts lead to all these things that are listed here in these verses. That's the problem with our hearts. Some people hear that and they put up a wall and say, I don't care. You can't touch this. You know who the first example of a person that put up that wall was? It was back in the land of Egypt when God had called Moses to lead His children out of the land. And Moses went before a man named Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, said, let my people go, that they may worship me. And 15 times in the book of Exodus, it says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He had a hard heart. 15 times. Now the scary part is, sometimes it says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. That's him putting up the wall. I don't care about your God. I don't care what He wants or what He thinks or what He says. I don't care. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm going to do. He put up that wall. And I believe it's about half the times. Now 15 doesn't divide evenly in half, but about half the times it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. But you know what happens? You know what it also says in addition to that? Some of those times it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. All the frightening thing is, We have a wicked, deceitful, desperately wicked heart. And if we put up that stone wall against God to not touch it and leave it alone, eventually He will. And He'll turn away. And there is no sadder thing in this world than for somebody whom God has turned away their heart. He said, no, it doesn't work that way. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Pharaoh hardened his heart. God matched him. God hardened his heart. God will allow our hearts to be hardened if that is our desire and our determination. And once our hearts are hardened, we're in bad shape. Hardened arteries, you're familiar with that. That's a bad thing. You better get something done about that quick. Because if you don't, you're going to die. A hardened heart, boy, you better do something. Because if you don't, spiritually, you're not going to drop dead physically, but spiritually, you'll be worth absolutely nothing with hardened hearts. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verse number 21. The end of verse 20 says they are without excuse. That's a very powerful two-word phrase, without excuse. Talking about unbelievers. Because that, verse 20 says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They started with a lighted heart. They started with a heart that at least was conscious and knew there was a God. But by the time they're done, read the rest of Romans chapter 1, they are a mess. They are doing things that are unimaginable. And God gives them over to a reprobate mind because when they knew God, they glorified Him not, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What a scary thought. That's the condition of our heart when God looks. When God looks down upon mankind, sees people buzzing about. You ever been on the airplane, gone up and flown up in the air, looked down there and said, boy, look at all those people. They look like ants down there on the ground. When God looks down here from heaven and sees 8 billion people on the face of the earth right now, and looks around and sees all these people running all over, scared. God looks down in every individual heart and cares about every individual heart and thinks about every individual heart and examines every individual heart and knows every individual heart. And some are blocking Him and forcing Him away and their hearts are being hardened and darkened and they're going the wrong direction. Others may open up their hearts. There's a phrase here, look in Hebrews, and this will finish up our diagnosis and we'll move on to better areas here. Look over at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Here I believe Paul is writing to Jewish people who have seen the gospel, been exposed to the scriptures. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Those Jews who were committed the oracles of God, who were given the law of Moses, yet they hardened their hearts because of an evil heart of unbelief. That is the condition of the natural heart. Not the physical heart, but the natural spiritual heart. It is at enmity against God. And it cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are opposed to it. That's the diagnosis of the heart. And all of us came under that diagnosis from birth. Now, it's good to see the diagnosis, but it's better to know the remedy, the treatment, the cure. Is there one? What can we do for that fallen, unregenerate, unsaved, wicked, heart full of adultery, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit? What can we do about it? That was the introduction this morning. Now I want to give you the tips for a healthy heart. Now that you know what the heart is, and of course many of us have experienced number one already, so we'll get there. But tips for a healthy heart. You can look that up on the internet and they'll show you 10 tips for a healthy heart. Tell you what to eat, what not to eat, and what not to eat, and what not to eat. If it's good for your heart, it means it's lousy in your mouth. That's basically the way it works out. At least that's my interpretation. But it'll tell you what to eat and what to do, how to get exercise, walk, do something to maintain a healthy heart. Well, fortunately, the Bible tells us how we can overcome that diagnosis and have a healthy heart. On the basis of Hebrews 3:12, and we'll look at other some verses in order, but on the basis of that, an evil heart of unbelief, I would say the first tip for a healthy heart, get saved. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have Him wash it in His blood. Have Him forgive your sins and iniquities. Receive Him into your heart and into your life. Look back, if you would, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Way back in Ezekiel. Back in the Old Testament, after Psalms in the middle, we were in Jeremiah. Ezekiel's after Jeremiah. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord is speaking to the nation of Israel. And we always have to remember the direct context of any verses in the Bible. But I believe, as we look at the New Testament, we'll see that this is an illustration of what God does later on. Here He does something for the nation of Israel, yet at the same time it's a future prophecy, so there's a lot of things going on here. But notice in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36, God says to this nation, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Now that's not talking in that context about salvation, but can't you see it? Can't you see the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that that's exactly what God did? Gave you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. When you got saved, your desires changed. Many for you, your ambitions changed. Oh, for a lot of you, if somebody would have told you that at this point in your life, you would be attending church regularly every Sunday, you'd have said, no, not me. That's not my future. But something changed. You know what changed? Your heart. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That again is not talking about the physical heart that He's going to rip it out of their bodies. But He's telling the nation of Israel in this prophecy, and also painting the illustration for you and I by faith in Jesus Christ, that when we get saved, we have a heart transplant. He takes away that stony heart that is not sensitive to the things of God and cannot feel the things of God. He takes it out and gives us a heart of flesh. What that means is a heart that beats, is a heart that's tender. It's a heart that He can speak to. And He says, and I'll give them, I'll take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes and to keep My judgments and to do them. Oh, the first remedy or the first tip for a healthy heart, get saved. Salvation is a heart transaction. It's not a head transaction. I'm afraid too many people receive the Lord in their head and not in their heart. They acknowledge the truths, but it never gets those 18 inches from up here to down here. And this is the root. This is the source. It's got to start. If it just starts here, it's not going to last long. Somebody will talk you out of it. If it's nothing more than intellectual. But within your heart, it's a whole different story. You know these verses. Look over there at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I have so many verses listed, we could be here for hours. And that's just to impress upon you the number of times the Bible speaks about the heart. So I have feebly tried to narrow those verses down into some that will fit into the context of our thought right now and not lead us into too many different areas. But we're talking about the need of having a changed heart because our diagnosis is not good. And we need something new, and God promises that He'll do that. He says, I'll take away that stone, that heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of emotion, a heart of flesh. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, very familiar verses. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart. See, salvation is a heart transaction. You can't just believe it in your head. We can present the gospel of Jesus Christ and give you all the facts. And if all you have is an accumulation of facts, it won't do any good. It has to come from the heart. The heart is what's diseased. The heart is what the problem is. The mind just reflects what's in the heart already. And so the heart needs to be fixed by being replaced. And the way we do that is by believing in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you got saved from your heart. Sometimes some folks weep buckets of tears when they get saved. It's such an emotional experience that they can't control themselves and they weep. Some folks shout. Man, they're so excited to recognize and realize what just happened in their heart, and they know something's different. They don't know exactly what it was, but they know something's changed and they're excited about it. And some folks just are not emotional people and they're very stoic about it. I got saved. No tears, no shout, just factual. I got saved. One is no more saved than the other or no less saved than the other. We have different personalities and different reactions to different kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is that when our heart is changed, it's changed because Christ comes in. You have to believe from your heart. Back one book, the book of Acts. I'm just kind of from my mind picking out the verses that follow the train of thought. The book of Acts chapter 8. Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. The eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. He doesn't know what he's reading. Philip, God directs Philip to come up alongside of him as he's riding in his chariot. And the eunuch asks Philip to explain the scriptures to him. And the Bible says he begins with those scriptures and preaches to him Jesus. The Bible says in verse 36 that as they went on their way, Acts chapter 8, verse 30, am I in the right place? 8:36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? A lot of folks are like that. They think water baptism is the solution. Water baptism isn't going to change your inside. It might get a little speck of dirt off your outside, but it ain't going to do anything for your inside. And so Peter says, or Philip says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You know where Peter knew the problem lied? In his heart. Baptism wasn't going to help him. That was just an outward action. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And Philip said, and he answered and said, the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he put his faith in Christ from the heart, he experienced salvation. He experienced conversion. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you had that change? Are you walking around still with that original heart from birth? Not the physical heart, but that fallen, deceitful, wicked, ungodly heart. Are you still walking around that? Or has there been a point in time in your life where you had that transplant done? Where you came to Christ by faith and He changed your heart? How to have a healthy heart? Get saved. The songwriter wrote about it. And I wrote the hymn number down here. I'll turn to it. It's number 194 in our songbook. This song was written in 1758. I looked that up the other evening. 1758. Anybody here? No, there's nobody here from 1750. You think about it, that's over 250 years ago. This song was written. There's nothing like these old songs. That's all. I mean, we can sing these songs today and they're just as lively as they were 250 years ago. This fellow wrote this song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Then it goes into the chorus. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There are five verses to that song, all expressing the joy and the happiness and the gladness of what happens when Jesus comes into your heart. A transaction takes place. A change is made. Your old stony heart is taken out and now you're given a heart of flesh. You know, some folks walk into church unsaved, hear the same message that the rest of you hear, and walk out unscathed, untouched, unaffected. You know why that happens? They got a stony heart. They're like Pharaoh hardening it. And God's allowing them to harden it. And they'll come in here and hear the gospel and they'll walk out with a darker heart than they came in with because they turned away from the light of the gospel. Oh, but thank God, you and I that have been saved, we've trusted Christ as our Savior, our hearts have been changed. How do you fix that wicked, ungodly, bad heart? How do you do it? By getting saved. Tips for a healthy heart. Get saved. Have you been saved? That's the question. Not collectively, individually, have you been saved? Have you traded in that stony heart for the new heart? I hope you have. If you haven't, today'd be a good day to do it. There's no better day to do it. He said, no, I'll wait. That'd be like a guy having a widow maker. You all know what that is, that one vein or artery that runs to the heart that any second it's gone and you're done. Be a guy like that, knowing he has it, and said, I'll just see how I do. I'll wait it out. That's dangerous. To have a stony heart and to know it and to put off God is just as dangerous. Because right on the other side of that spiritual heart attack is a lake of fire that's just waiting to embrace those with stony hearts. A tip for a healthy heart, get saved. Now I wish that was the end of it. If you do this, everything will be fine. That's just like a healthy heart. If you eat salads, you can still have cake and ice cream for dessert. They don't tell you that when they're giving you healthy eating. It's not just one thing. If you do this, that'll fix everything. No, there's got to be some maintenance involved. There's got to be some daily activity involved. And so I'm going to give you the second tip for a healthy heart. The first one is get saved. The second one, stay in fellowship with God. And this really, how do you say this? It's not more important than getting saved because getting saved determines your eternal destiny. But oh, how important staying in fellowship with God is. And folks, it's dependent on the heart. Because the minute we get saved and we are given a new heart, you know what we begin to do? What's that little Snoopy character, the pig pen? You can take that little fellow pig pen and throw him in the shower and clean him up. And the minute he comes out, there's dirt rising up all over again, all over him. And he walks around like that. What happens to you and I is when we get saved, we get a clean heart. We get a fresh new heart. We get a new start. But it doesn't take us long, because of our frail condition, it doesn't take us long to dirty that heart up all over again. Now, there's no second salvation to do it all over again. But what you and I need to do is maintain that healthy heart that God has now given us. And it's hard to do in a vile, wicked, filthy world. Just like in Jesus' day, where they walked around not with shoes that enclosed their feet, but in sandals or barefoot. And no matter where they did and where they go, they weren't going somewhere bad. They might have been going to the synagogue. Their feet got dirty. They could have been going to help their neighbor. Their feet got dirty. Because it just happened in the normal walk of life. You and I, in our normal walk of life, our heart gets dirty. Things we see. Man, this world. Isn't this world just geared to putting something in front of your eyes to defile your heart? And the things we see make our heart dirty. This world is convinced it wants to put something in your ears to dirty your heart. And the world is very successful at doing that. They can disguise it in different manners and different ways and get you to take it like a cow being led to the slaughter, not even realizing what's going on. The world makes us dirty. Some folks, I hope you don't have this problem, put some things down their mouth, down their throats, that defile their hearts. Things that God would not have us eat, not have us drink, not have us get involved in. Places not to go, things not to do. And yet, like Pharaoh, we say, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to go anyways. I'm going to think anyways. I'm going to listen anyways. And what we don't realize, what we're not thinking about usually, is that we're making our heart dirty all over again. After God has performed such a wonderful operation of cleaning it, we make it dirty again. Look, if you would, at Psalm 51. Our time's just about up, but look at Psalm 51. And again, there are so many verses we could look at. David was a man after God's own heart, the author of Psalm 51. He was a man after God's own heart. He walked with God, but he wasn't sinless. In fact, the Bible is very careful to let us know about David's sin. Not because God wanted to advertise it, or shout it from the housetop, but because he wanted to use such a man as David to teach us a wonderful lesson. That though you get that new heart, if you're not careful, you're going to dirty it all over again. And David did. He made his heart dirty. He looked with his eyes on something he wasn't supposed to look at, and he lusted after it. And then, from within, out of the heart of men, preceded an evil thought, and it was adultery, and he committed it. And folks often ask, how could David be a man after God's own heart when he did what he did? David was not a man after God's own heart because of 2 Samuel 17, the sin with Bathsheba. He was a man after God's own heart because of Psalm 51. After he had committed that sin, David was broken-hearted. Get that second half of that word? Hearted. David was broken-hearted. Against thee, Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly not thoroughly, over, throughly, from within side. Wash me throughly and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. He's not saying he didn't sin against Uriah the Hittite. He did. Against Bathsheba, he did. But he recognized the ultimate sin was against God. And what did it do? It dirtied his heart. It broke his relationship with God. And when it broke his relationship with God, it broke his heart. You know what our problem is, folks? When we do things that break God's heart, it doesn't break ours. We're pretty tough. We're pretty hard. We're pretty stubborn, even after we've been given that new heart. So what did David pray? And this is the key here in this confession. Verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. You know what you and I need this morning? We need clean hearts. You know the only one that can do that is God. You can't do it. You can't clean your heart. Only God can get in there and remove the plaque in the arteries. Open up the veins that are running in there. And David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity. For against thee and thee only have I sinned. How's your heart this morning? My prayer this morning is that while we're doing this, you'll examine your heart. And you'll see if there be any wicked way. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You know what I've done? This is not confession time. This used to be a Catholic church. It's not anymore. But I have turned my radio on, and I've turned to a station that I ought not listen to. Yep, your preacher. Sorry. Some things, sometimes they just happen. And I turn on a station, and for me, usually it's listening to music of my olden days, my pre-conversion days, music that still has a place in my heart. Isn't that a great, that's a grand expression to use for that right now. And I'll sit there and listen for just a moment until the Holy Spirit of God begins to talk to my heart and say, what are you listening to? And I will quickly switch it over to the Christian radio station to get the right music, to get the right conversation. I mean, sometimes it's not just music, it's talk radio that I can waste my hours listening to if I'm not careful. And the Lord just says, what are you doing? This isn't cleaning your heart. This is filling your heart with filth. This is filling your heart with everything else the world's filling their heart with. What difference is there in you and everybody else? You're no different. How's your heart? Look at Proverbs 4. We'll have to close. I'd love to go to Psalm 19. There are six verses in Psalm 119 that all talk about loving God with your whole heart. W-H-O-L-E. Whole heart. Whole heart. Proverbs 4. And I am lost looking at my notes here. I know there's... I got it written down here somewhere and I can't even find it on my 4 verse 23. Thank you. I wrote it in black and my other verses are written in red. That's what gave me, led me to the wrong place. Chapter 4 verse 23. Here's our challenge, folks. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, our hearts show us what's really important to us. What we love, we spend time with. That time ought to be spent in the Bible. That time ought to be spent in church. That time ought to be spent in fellowship with God's people. We'll not turn there, we're out of time, but I like the story of Saul, not Saul of Tarsus, but Saul, the first king of Israel. When Samuel anointed him to be king, the Bible says there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Saul is one, if we had time to look there, the Bible says that God gave him a new heart. And when he got the new heart, he wanted to be around with other people whose hearts God had touched. When we desire to be with those that desire to be with God, we're in the right direction. But when we're happy with those that are not happy with God, it's an indication that we have a problem with the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How is your heart this morning? I hope you're saved. I hope you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And as I look around the auditorium, as far as I know, everybody has. But only you know for sure. Because you're the only one that was there when it happened. And know that it happened. In your heart, you invited Christ in and He saved you and changed you. Now that you're saved, it's a daily battle. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is not written to unsaved people, but to Christians. We need to maintain a healthy heart. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.